Then he turned to his critics and said, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it?" But they wouldn't answer him. And this next verse is the key. He looked around at them angrily and deeply saddened by their what? Their hard hearts. And then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand and restored it. At once the Pharisees went away and met with supporters of Herod to plot how to kill him. But that verse, and Ron, if you want to leave that up, verse 5, he looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. So of the many lessons that we could learn from these few verses, the lesson that I'm going to teach today is on hard hearts. The Bible considers the heart to be the center of our personality. It's the part of our personality that we might ascribe to as the mind. That's what we think of when we read about the heart in the Bible. Now, I'm going to start back in the Old Testament and talk about some hard hearts, and then we'll get to the New Testament eventually. But in the book of Exodus, it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, it was during that time, you might remember, where Moses led the people out of Egypt. And he was telling, before it all happened, though, he said to Pharaoh, God says, to let my people go. Here's what Exodus 4:21 says. "And the Lord told Moses, when you arrive back in Egypt, go to Pharaoh and perform all the miracles I have empowered you to do. But I will harden his heart so he will refuse to let the people go." What? God himself hardened someone's heart? Exodus 7:13. Pharaoh's heart, however, remained hard. He still refused to listen, just as the Lord had predicted. The phrase, "God hardened Pharaoh's heart," is recorded 7 more times in Exodus. But God not only hardened Pharaoh's heart, he also hardened the hearts of the Egyptians. Exodus 14:17. "And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites." God hardened the hearts of Pharaoh. God hardened the hearts of the Egyptians. It was a way, though, for him to give... Sometimes he hardened hearts in a way to help the Israelites have victory in a battle. Here's an example of that. Joshua 11:19-21. "No one in this region made peace with the Israelites except the Hivites of Gibeon. All the others were defeated, for the Lord had hardened their hearts and caused them to fight against the Israelites. So they were completely destroyed without mercy, as the Lord had commanded Moses." So it's interesting, I find, that hard hearts are sometimes hard because God made their hearts hard. And he made their hearts hard for a purpose. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. At the same time, the Lord tells us, that's why we have to teach the whole Bible, not just a verse here and a verse there. But in the whole Bible, it says that the Lord says we should not harden our hearts. So if we read here that the Lord hardened the heart, oh well, I guess we don't have any control. Yes, we do. Psalm 95:8 says, "The Lord says, do not harden your hearts, as Israel did." So if the Lord says, don't do it, I'm guessing we can keep from doing it. Jeremiah 4:3, "This is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, plow up the hard ground in your hearts." So it sounds like there is hardness that could happen in our hearts, but there is a way to break that hardness up. And he uses the picture of plowing it up like we would plow up ground so that a seed could fall in it, things could grow. Hosea 10:12, "I said, plant the seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love." Once again, plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord that he may come and shower you with righteousness. Now some verses in the New Testament. Some people have hardened their own hearts. Matthew 19:8. Jesus replied, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to your hard hearts. But that's not what God originally intended. This whole idea of divorce, back in the days of the Israelites, God wasn't planning for this. But people had hardened their hearts. And so God, through Moses, made a way of divorce happen through civil law, through a letter of dismissal that an Israelite man could present and end up getting a divorce. But that wasn't God's plan. He wanted one man, one woman to be married for life. What was happening, though, in this culture at this time, the Israelite men were just divorcing their wife for no reason at all. That put that woman out on the street in poverty with no help. And God said, okay, we're going to have to fix this up. And so again, that verse said, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to the hard hearts of those Israelites, those Israelite men in particular. Hebrews 3:8 says this, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled and when they tested me in the wilderness. So once again, a command, don't do it. Hebrews 4:7. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted, quote, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. I don't know if that's enough for you guys, but it's enough for me to say, if I have hardened my heart, I need to stop doing it. If I haven't hardened my heart, don't do it to begin with. Well, we've learned that God in his sovereignty can choose to harden the hearts of people to accomplish his purposes. But there's plenty of scripture to tell us that we have the ability to harden our own heart. But God's desire is that we not harden our heart. God desires us to have a soft heart. God desires us to have a pliable heart. God desires for us to have a changeable heart. So I'm going to ask this question and then I'll answer it. What causes a hard heart? What causes a hard heart? And I'm going to look to the Bible and get four answers to share with you this morning. And the first one is this. Sin causes a hard heart, especially continual unrepentant sin. Now, if sin caused a hard heart, I'd be speaking from a hard heart to hard hearts this morning. You see, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as we come to Christ and live more like him, we sin less, but I don't know that we're sinless. Is anybody completely had victory over sin and never has a thought or a deed of sin? I'm guessing we don't raise our hand because that doesn't happen. So God has prepared a way, and that way is to confess. Confession is what helps us. Sin causes a heart to grow hard, especially continual and unrepentant sin. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. However, if we don't confess our sins, then they have a cumulative and desensitizing effect on our conscience, making it difficult for us to even recognize right from wrong. When we continually sin, we don't ask God, we don't confess and ask God to forgive us of that sin and get that cleansing that he promises, then eventually we're desensitized to sin. When I read that and put that down, I immediately then thought of someone playing the guitar. Gerald, I don't know how much you play the guitar, but if you play the guitar a lot, you end up developing calluses on your fingers, I understand. A person who learns starts learning to play the guitar for the first time, as they're holding their fingers down on the strings to the fretboard, and does it, they do it over and over again as a beginner. Next thing you know, their fingertips are sore. They're painful. They're tender. Sometimes they even get bloody. You know, it's that. But here's what happens. As you continue to play through the pain and keep going, you start building up calluses. And so little by little, those fingertips are desensitized to that pressure of the string against the fretboard. And eventually, you don't feel any pain at all. We, Jan and I, are big American Idol fans. And this past Sunday, they showed Luke Bryan. It was in between contestants coming in for their audition. And it just showed him. They come back from a commercial, and he's sitting there playing the guitar. And he mentioned, he said, "Man, I've almost lost all the calluses because I haven't been playing as much during COVID." And I thought, that's exactly, Luke Bryan is helping us to understand that continual unrepentant sin will cause the heart to get calloused to the point where we just don't even feel anything. Playing through the pain as a guitarist, that's a great thing. But playing through the pain of sin is a terrible thing. Eventually, the repeated, deliberate, unrepentant sin will cause a person to stop feeling the desire to stop sinning. You eventually have the feeling stop that desire to stop sinning. So sin, unrepentant, continual sin, can cause a heart to harden. A dark mind, a closed mind to the things of God, also causes the heart to harden. A dark mind and a closed mind to the things of God. Ephesians 4:18 says, "Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him." A third thing. Another sin that can harden a heart is pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance. So while all unrepentant continual sin in general can harden a heart, specifically pride and arrogance, that was the sin, that was the root of what caused Pharaoh's heart to be hard. He was so prideful, he thought he was God of the world. He couldn't recognize anyone else being God. Now while we know God did factor into the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, Pharaoh had multiple opportunities to soften his heart if he would have recognized at any time that there was the one true God. And here's the fourth thing. Hearts can also be hardened when we suffer setbacks and disappointments in life. And we've just heard of a few examples of things that can be setbacks and disappointments. Just this morning in just our little congregation. Now I ask this question. Who in here has ever had setbacks or disappointments in life? Can I see a show of hands? Yeah. It's a ridiculous question. Everyone suffers from setbacks and disappointments. No one is immune to trials here on this earth. No one. We can't always change what happens to us. Cancer comes. Fire destroys a house. The physical heart, is damaged. We can't change what happens to us, but we can always change how we respond to what happens to us. We can always change to how we respond to what happens to us. Some folks take gloom and despair to a whole new level, do they not? Again, it happens to everybody, but some people, gloom and despair. You'll probably remember that really encouraging song that they sang on Hee Haw. "Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck," you can join me in this song, "I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me." suffering setbacks and disappointments. It's how we respond to them. But some people, when they get into that gloom, despair, their heart ends up getting hard just based on that. So there's four things I think that the Bible could tell us about how hearts get hardened. But let's end with some encouraging news. How do you soften a hard heart? How do you soften a hard heart? First thing is to admit that you have one. Admit that your heart is hard. And God will seek to help us to see our heart's condition when we ask Him, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting." That's in Psalm 139. And that's those words are in verses of song that we have sung before, I know. God can heal any heart once we recognize our disobedience and repent of our sins. But true repentance is more than just simply feeling or having a feeling of being sorry. Repentance shows up in a changed life. We talk differently. We walk differently. God can heal our heart for sure. But let me caution you this. People with a hard heart that want to change, that want God to soften their heart, not everybody's a fan of that. Not everyone will be on board with you or someone you love trying to have God soften their heart. This past Tuesday, when I was at Ben's bar, I was talking to a fellow that's older than me, probably about 20 years older than me. For decades, he's been sober. Every time I've talked to him at Ben's, he's drinking a coffee or a Coke or something like that. But he told me this story yet again, and it was so perfect timing for this. We chatted about how he had gotten victory over his addiction to alcohol decades ago. I mean, every day it was a pint just to get from work to home. Even though he had made the change in his life to stop drinking, some of his friends were not so supportive. Buddies there at the bar would buy him one beer after another. And one day he said, I was at Ben's bar and there were 6 open bottles of beer sitting in front of me because everyone kept egging him to drink. He had already decided, he had made a change. He was, in his case, the addiction to alcohol had hardened his heart. He wanted a changed life. But the guys kept buying him beers and having the bartender set them in front of him. Eventually, 6 of them sit in front of him. Seeing the struggle that this man was having, the original owner of that bar, Ben himself, this fellow was telling me, Ben went over and grabbed all 6 of those bottles of beer, dumped them all in the sink, full bottles of beer, and then made sure he charged every one of those buddies for the beer that they bought the man. So just know that as we try to change our hard heart, or somebody you know has a hard heart and is trying to change, not everyone will be on board. After repenting of our sins, hard hearts can begin to heal when we study God's word. So the first way we get our hearts softened is just admit we have a hard heart. Then let God work, do his work. A second way is to study God's word. The Bible says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Psalm 119. The Bible is our manual for living. It is, quote, God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. 2 Timothy. If we are to live to the fullest as God intended, we need to study and obey the Bible. That's what keeps a heart soft and pure. So let's don't become like the Pharisees that Jesus had to deal with. I don't want him looking at me angrily or deeply saddened by the condition of my heart. So would you join me this morning asking Jesus to soften even the smallest part of my heart that may have become hard? He is the great cardiologist. He can perform a miraculous surgery this morning even while we're sitting in the pew. You know, the Grinch's heart was two sizes too small because he hated Christmas. The Pharisees' hearts were too hard because they hated Christ. And so my question to you that I leave us all with, is there any hate in you? Is there any hate in me? We live in a world that seems to be full of hate. And y'all know what I'm talking about. It's hate everywhere we look, whether we're watching the news or reading Facebook, as you're having talking with friends or talking with family. It really doesn't matter. It seems like the world is so full of hate. A lot of hard hearts out there. Now, I'm not expecting that I'm preaching to people with hard hearts. And I'm certainly not preaching from a hard heart. But what I'm asking God to do today, as we go ahead and we're going to close with whatever song you have.
Yeah, acapella.
Okay.
The song that you have, it should be up there.
Okay, we're going to have the words to a song up here. And this is going to be our prayer to close. That God would, through the words of these songs, this song would help to soften our hearts. So let's see if we have it up there. Okay. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the blessing for sure.